Hello, everybody. Welcome to Gym Owners Podcast. Your co-host here, Tyler Stone. Over the way is John Fairbanks. Welcome.
Greetings. Welcome, everybody.
You had the clicky audio. I knew we should have waited a second.
Well, I want to make sure I sound...
John, can you hear me okay? Sometimes this takes a second to catch up to speed.
You are smooth as silk, per the usual, since
I'm smooth on your end? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we're just going to assume that it is that way on the recording side, and I'm going to power forward here. I think it normally only takes a few seconds for this thing to get warmed up. So, guys, we're going to come through some recap for you guys today. We want to go through, like, everything we've kind of covered up to now and, like, zoom out and give you guys a little bit of overall context so that if you're kind of new, you're not, like, if you come in the middle, like, some of the stuff sounds like it's out of sequence or, like, way next level, especially if sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees. So I think we've done a lot of laying out of some of these frameworks. And now we just want to zoom out and be like, all right, guys, let's give you a real overview of like, what is gym hacking? Like, what does it mean to hack your gym? You know what I'm saying, John?
Yes. So let's jump right in. That's perfect.
Camera trouble and sound trouble. We are on a roll.
We're just playing. I'm just playing around. Every time you got a new thing, you got to play around with stuff, make everybody uncomfortable. No. So definitely what Tyler's talking about, right? So this is the idea where we want to be able to jump in and start talking about, kind of zoom out and say, we've given you a lot of framework. We've given you a lot of things we're talking about, and we've made a lot of references to a particular word that I think deserves us kind of adequately going over and kind of firming up what exactly it means. Yeah. And so this phrase is gym hacking. So what does it mean to be a gym hacker? And what does it mean to be gym hacking? And at its core, kind of what we decided to do of kind of creating that word and everything that it entails is it is the surefire way to make sure that every time that you have the opportunity to make money, you make more money each and every time that you have the opportunity to make a sale within your gym.
Yeah.
And that's it. At its core, that's all it is. And then all the frameworks and everything that goes along with it that allows you to do that over and over and over again to then be successful, that kind of how you make money, how you go about making sales in your gym, how you go about organizing your gym, has a framework that gets followed. So as you grow, as other pieces come in, and as you add more complexity, you always can kind of come back to this framework and to this attitude, this gym hacking mentality that allows you to make sure you're super grounded and that whatever you add next kind of fits into this larger framework that's at your gym.
Well, that's really important, is the piece that it fits, that it has to fit in with you and your gym. And that's why, as we get into a lot of these things that we're going to go through today, that is that it isn't just making money and like chasing the dollar. You know, it can't be that. It really is about aligning with your thing and then finding a way to make the most money doing what you do well, the way that you want to do it. How does one know what they do well and how they should do it? Like, what are some of these? What is the first step as far as going through this?
We've talked about this before, so you definitely can go back to previous episodes and kind of where we drilled in pretty deep on this one particular topic. And this is the idea of like building the framework, building the foundation at your gym. So we talked about, this was what we call as the T3 framework. So this is the idea of you're looking at your teams, you're looking at your tribe, you're looking at the transactions that are happening inside of your gym. It has to happen first, because this is the thing where you kind of said, well, how do you start? What do you need to do? And it's at first you need to know, what does your gym have? We keep hearing, and we now have, right, the community is open, right? We're talking to lots of gym owners now each and every day. People are giving us feedback, and the same feedback that we've had now for a number of years in our past life, when we got to travel like all over the place and go to seminars and see people in person, humans and whatnot, the needs or the confusion or the phrases that are getting used haven't changed.
Yeah.
And so because gym owners are so busy and you're so busy doing, oftentimes you're kind of scatterbrained doing. So things are all over the place. And the thing that we keep hearing from is like, man, this is really helpful just to be able to kind of step back and kind of see all the things that we've been doing, because I didn't even realize that we did all the stuff. I thought we needed to do more.
Yeah. 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 Getting a real lay of what you offer, what you can offer, maybe what you could offer. What could you offer in 2 years, 3 years? What could you offer if you had different relationships made? What can you act on right now? You know, what do you do right now that you could package and sell differently? And I think those are knowing your gym, what you can do, how you can do it, how you want to do it is extremely the thing. But as the person goes through this process to identify all of it, it's really important that they understand that just knowing where you stand is great. And knowing what you want to do going forward is wonderful. But implementation and doing, the gap between knowing and doing is literally where all the secret sauce is. And I think that's the piece that we make sure very, very well that people get going on this stuff here. And it doesn't just stay as words and it doesn't stay as rah-rah. And it's not some just philosophy checklist that you got. I mean, we want actionable things. And gym hacking is really about a plan forward, but a process forward.
And the actions that come next. I think it was the piece that, and I've talked about this before, and you and I have felt really passionately about this idea, but it's the concept where it can't just be a blueprint that people are buying. It can't just be like an ethos or a method or a methodology or whatever you want to call it. It cannot just be fancy things that can go onto a bumper sticker. It can be a really great quote post, right? It has to be something that is like, okay, this is great. Now what? And the now what for me is where the rubber always has met the road. And whenever I've taken online courses or seminars or events and been involved, it always felt like that was the piece that was always the most lacking. Yeah. It was the piece of like, okay, great. How do I do what you're talking about? And I just got sick and tired of people saying, well, you just need to work on it for like the next 35 years and then you'll get it. It's like, what?
Well, and Jonna, okay. You and I have like a different forms of it, but a psychological bias in the way that we pursue problem solving and analyzing situations, where I have found myself in multiple businesses and multiple fields, owning businesses both in fitness and otherwise, and on the fitness education side or the physical fulfillment of this stuff, and like also on the media stuff, and then, you know, the apparel, just lifestyle brand. So I've kind of been through a lot of different ways and a lot of different things and a lot of different starting points, middle points, and end points, right? And the one thing that I've learned that I do very well, and once we started, you and I started working together, I began to see that you did the same thing, only better and more organized, was that I'm very good at seeing exactly where, what is going on right now. You know, as a person, if you grow up with maybe limited means or you're poor, you're starting businesses, you're bootstrapping businesses, things like this, the only thing you can do right now, work with right now, is what you have. And so that's the piece. I bootstrapped every business I've started from, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Every project I've started, we've never just sunk money into it. I've never been like entered into a business or a venture or anything. We're like, oh, I have as much money as I want to be able to do the things I want to do with this. It's never, ever, ever been that case when I start a project. Meaning what we have honed over these years is a very, very, very good eye for seeing what do we have? What do we work with? What options do I have at my disposal right now? Which ones align with what I can do? And what should I do first? We can deliver very, very effectively what you should do next. And then after that, and then after that, and then after that. And those pieces may not lead you to $1 million a year business, a $2 million a year business in the first 6 months, but you're now on the path. And when you get through some of those things, then we start looking, okay, what's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing? And that's what we built into this process, is that identify, come up with a plan, and truly execute on that plan.
And it doesn't happen overnight. No. The only reason why we were able to do this, everything that you just laid out, is exactly right. Because this is the concept of, we figured this out by doing, not by sitting around talking about it, thinking what would be a good idea. The thing that I've always worked well with, and people that I've worked well with, have been people like, fail fast.
Yeah.
So you need to get in, you need to test a theory out. You can't sink in 6 months of research and all of these other things that go with it. It's like, it's, you still need to do certain important pieces, but that needs to be, when it comes to research and figuring it out and looking at your market and all this other mumbo jumbo bullshit. But at the end of the day, it comes down to doing. Because if you have an idea, then throw it out there and see what people give you in return. If you start hearing people being like, yes, this is it, this is what sounds good, or I like this, or people start buying, that's now the confirmation that you really need to be able to see whatever you need to do next is worth doing. Otherwise, it just becomes what I call, and we'll talk about often, which is this analysis paralysis, where everyone starts thinking about, well, like, oh, it has to be perfect. And social media makes it such a struggle.
Yeah.
Because you look around and be like, man, like I can't do what they do, or they have this or they have that or whatever it is. And then you're like, well, here I am. I'm just got my stuff over here and it kind of sucks and whatever. And that's where it's like, just like you said, the bootstrapping, like duct tape and spit, is all you need to really kind of put something together. Because at the end of the day, people, this goes so much deeper, but it's people are not at your gym because of the back hyper machine that you got.
No.
So stop thinking that the back hyper machine is going to be the difference maker. Yeah. You're the difference maker. You're the reason why people are there. The coaches are the reasons why the people are there. How that you feel, like all these other intangible pieces are why they're there.
And so all layered on top of the fact that those things and how they're able to give them at its root, the experience and the results that your clients want.
Right.
You know, these things need to align. And that's why you cannot just come in and be like, I'm going to recraft and sell, or I'm not just going to look at this thing. Like, what is the perfect way to move forward? How do I move forward flawlessly? I got this plan on you. You cannot spend 5 months scratching out this plan and changing this and coming up to some perfect thing. Like John said, like, well, what was it? Is this the Macho Man? The cream will rise to the top.
Right.
but Ian Thomas, so once you get these things out, you start operating these, then you'll just make changes based on what works and what doesn't. What's interesting to me is how often people sit back with a system that's not working for them. It's not right now. Yeah. And you're not changing it. Why? And that's because, and by the way, you can come up with the best plan for it and the best ideas for it, and yet you're sitting in a plan that's not working for you and it is not moving forward. What is your plan and what are you going to do? And I think that's important to not just execute this thing, but to really, like, you got to bite down and you got to go forward. You really got to push forward into this thing. And the term we use is ruthlessly execute.
Right.
You know, it's not a thing you kind of do. You don't go in and kind of, you're never going to go up to a person and present, you know, your stacked offers from your plate framework. You're never going to come and be like, hey, this top option is, No, come in and be confident in what you do. And you've put these things together deliberately in a way, by the way, that should matter to the client. It should matter to them, right? Because it is to help give them an increased chance of success, or an option to choose a more premium experience or a more high-end experience. Or they can choose a lower option, maybe fits their budget. And then they understand the types of trajectories they could take as they choose to develop or get more comfortable with you as a coach. You know, this is, yeah. But you need to come into there with that confidence. Like, this is my thing. This is how we do this. And being able to ruthlessly execute on these plans, both in designing them, selling them, fulfilling them, you know, with honor, like you do as a coach. Like, this dude picks some premium shit. He needs premium results. He needs premium effort, premium enthusiasm. And you're going to learn, that's going to bleed through your entire gym. And that's when the culture shifts completely. And then it doesn't become a thing where you're just bearing down, like biting forward into the wind and leaning into the cold, trying to trudge forward. Now the thing has momentum and people understand it, and you have the confidence that feedback loop reinforces itself. And then it's not so goddamn hard, you know, because we're still, a lot of this process is changing things, right? To get you from standing still or skidding backwards to going forward, and overcoming that momentum is, it's not always the easiest thing in the world, but as long as you just commit to doing and moving forward, 1 month, 2 months down the road, and you're already past it. You're already past so many of the problems that you thought you didn't even have a solution for. And that's why actually executing, no more analysis paralysis, no more thinking about it. Gym owners get stuck in that martyrdom mindset a lot because it's like, I'm just trying real hard. I care about these people. And you put that first, and you should. But right. You can't help these people if your doors are shut, and you can't help these people if you're so broke that you're miserable and you're just having trouble at home because you're struggling with money. You don't know how you're going to make your bills. Like, you don't understand if you can keep this gym open for a year, 2 years. Absolutely not. How good are you going to serve people when you got a blade hanging over your neck? That just does not work that way. So get your money right. And this is exactly what we want to do with this stuff. Get your systems right, get your money right, and then power forward.
And we've already given you the steps that, in order to do everything that we're talking about right now,
yeah,
we've given you the steps that are necessary. Like the I love the idea of like the guillotine, right? The blade is above you at every moment.
Are you paying attention to your clients when the blade's at your neck? Are you really? Are you thinking about their 6 months, 2 years? Are you thinking about anything? It's hard.
And I will tell you too, from what we have seen, like firsthand, we've seen with folks, is that it becomes that fear, or that, I guess it's more or less, it's actually an excuse. Mm-hmm. The excuse that the guillotine blade is right there becomes obviously addicting.
Yeah.
Because it now gives you an out. It gives you the excuse of how come you don't want to do this? Or how can we just take the next step, do this thing, or try and do something a little bit different. It's like, I can't. You see that thing up there? It's right there. Like if I do anything different, if I do anything that could change things, like I'm done like that. And it's like, okay, well, good luck. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's a reason why all of the figure out the lay of the land, that's step one stuff. Once you figure out the lay of the land, it's not going to change until you start changing. Yeah. So once you have the lay of the land, now you need to take everything that you have and make something out of it. Put it in the one plate, two plate, three plate, four plate. We talked about this before, to put it into that plate method. You're not going to get where you could be in a year from now when you're training. It's super easy for us all to understand training analogies.
Yeah, training analogy is the perfect one for this. Yeah.
So you're not going to get to a four plate or six plate deadlift if you don't start at least lifting one to two plates on each side. Like, you have to be doing it each and every day, working at it methodically.
Yeah, you can't just have a plan. You can't just have a program. By the way, you can have a program that perfectly assesses where you are right now. Step one is this. Step two is this. And it just will not help you at all unless you're in there doing it. And you have to do it. You have to go forward. We can adjust as we go, right? That plan, any plan that you're going to come up with, should change as you go. Has anything ever gone from literally A to Z, short of the alphabet, without any deviation? I don't think so. You know, not any plans that I've made, at least, certainly. And so, but that's the point, is this is not a system of an absolute checklist you run down. This is a constantly evolving thing based on your own corrections and your own ethics and your own things, just guided, just action-based guidance. And truly step by step, John, you're gonna go through this and show them everything. Like how to do this, go here. This isn't, we don't do vague concepts. I don't stamp principles on the board and expect you to sort them out and want to call you stupid if you can't. It's not what this is. This is, we want to help you to do this. And I don't want you to pay us so that we can talk about this. It's not what this is.
No. That's the reason why we have the podcast exists. The group exists for us to talk about it when you're ready to start doing. There are a lot of you. This is the issue. Like, for me, my personality is, I'm going to consume as much content that is physically out there, and I'm going to start going. And I'm going to start doing, because I'm a hyper doer. It's one of my biggest, it's that double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. I will just start doing.
Yeah. And it gets to the point too with John, where sometimes he needs to not be doing it, because now we're at a point where John's time, effort, and energy is more valuable than a lot of the things that he gets inclined to lean forward and just do. John used to be purely weaponized productivity, but it was always weaponized productivity for everybody else. And it was like, oh, we got to do better than that. It's got to be better than that, because you're more valuable than labor. And I think as a gym owner, shit, how much more valuable are you than labor? What a fucking nightmare to be. I'm the one who's here for an hour. Have more respect for yourself. You know you're better than that. Your clients know you're better than that. And someone who comes in off the street should know that you're better than that. So be it. Let your business reflect it. Power forward on that thing. And you'll get the results that you deserve, based on the inputs that you're putting in and how you really value yourself and the results you deliver.
And the results that you deserve are the results that your people deserve.
See this one? Oh, for you, it's money.
What I mean is, for sure, that's it.
Just money, come on. You get all the good feelings from coaching. By the way, as a gym owner, all of the real feel-good stuff you get, you live in it. It's what keeps you here, even though it doesn't make you any money right now. That's why you're here. Right. That is it. So quit fucking. It doesn't have to be that way, too. You're going to get all of those things. Those things don't go away. You're going to get more of them easier. Exactly. And you're going to make so much more money in the process. Why sign up to be a goddamn martyr for the next 2 years, 3 years, and maybe fail, or be miserable, or be under the thumb, or the guillotine at your neck the whole time? Don't live like that. Just don't.
Right.
Yeah. Whether you go down this path with us or whether you simply start thinking forward with this and just like gradually let this make this mindset change, you got to do it for yourself. You got to do it for your clients because you cannot help anybody with your door shut.
You can't help anybody.
Yeah.
Right. You can't help your people. You can't be philanthropic. It's you have to make money in order to then be able to do all the things.
Yeah.
So stop making money the bad guy and start doing it the right way. And that's really what we're talking about is how can you do this the right way? And we talk about this often. We're going to keep talking about it. It's how can you make as much money as possible while keeping your soul along the way?
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. That's really it. Let's get out of here, John.
All right.
Guys, thanks a lot. John, we tell them where to find us.
Yeah, if you're not already in the gym owners movement, right, Facebook group, you need to get in there. So go. You can go to the link in our social media accounts. You can go to hackyourgym.com. You can find the links that are there. Drop in there, right? If you're a gym owner, you love a gym owner, your opinion matters to a gym owner, right? That's where
you have a gym owner that you care about. Let them know. Like, hey, man, you see people struggling. It's been a shit 2 years for gym owners for some. And I've seen some gym owners make this the absolute best 2 years of their entire career. And a lot of people would not believe it, but absolutely hands down. And with this system, this is how I know this system is going to fly forward, is because amidst all of this bullshit, we've seen people with staggering success. And so we know not only does it work, that it works in unideal conditions. And that's why we want to make sure to bring it to you before the blade drops here, because it's not going to get easier. So let's get you fixed up. You can follow me on Instagram at Tyler F. and Stone. That's Tyler EFF, I and Stone. You can find John at
JBanksFL.
And I think that's got about everything. Share the podcast, leave us a review, get in that Facebook group, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Adios.